KFS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At his rally in Wilmington, North Carolina, Donald Trump rejected having another debate against Kamala Harris, saying it's too late for more debates. It comes after Vice President Harris today accepted an offer for a second debate against former President Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott was at the rally.
Former President Donald Trump once said when President Biden was in the race that he would debate him anytime, anywhere, any place. After that first debate that we hosted with Vice President Kamala Harris, we have noticed that the former president's tune around debating her for a second time has changed.
President Biden hosting leaders of India, Japan, and Australia today in Delaware. The White House says the Quad countries set to announce the whole joint coast Quad operations. Escalations between Israel and Hezbollah a day after Israeli forces carried out airstrikes in southern Beirut, killing a top Hezbollah commander. The U.S. and other countries are calling for a de-escalation. This is ABC News. In South Carolina last night, a convicted killer put to death in the state's first execution in 13 years. The long pause ending after the state was able to regain access to medication used to perform lethal injections.
While protesters chanted outside a prison in Columbia, South Carolina, inside, 46-year-old Freddie Owens was executed by lethal injection. Some members of the media witnessed the execution, including Jeffrey Collins of the AP, who watched the family members of victim Irene Graves.
They looked intently. You know, they didn't, their gaze didn't look away from him until well into the process, when you could tell things, you could tell his breathing had stopped.
While on trial, Owens killed a fellow inmate in jail. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Crowds lining up in Munich, Germany today for the first day of Oktoberfest. The traditional celebration taking place amid heightened security following the knife attack last month northwest of Munich. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Access to nutritious food can be hard to come by for underserved populations. A Wisconsin program that relies on contributions from locally based producers serves as a go-between, with the added bonus of a smaller climate impact. Mike Moen reports.
The state's local food purchase assistance program is closing in on its second anniversary. Under the initiative, farmers around Wisconsin are awarded grants to set aside some of their fresh produce and other items that get picked up and distributed to hunger relief sites. The Wisconsin Farmers Union helps lead the effort, and the organization's Forrest Humphrey says one of the benefits is helping smaller farms expand their markets.
This guaranteed income has allowed farms to invest in their operations and do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do, because we've been able to provide some stability through some unpredictable growing seasons.
And for people seeking help from hunger relief groups, their outcomes might improve if food insecurity becomes one less thing to worry about. Researchers say there's debate over just how effective locally grown food is in reducing emissions when focusing on how products are delivered. Still, Humphrey points out that a number of the small farms signed up for the program prioritize climate-friendly practices.
We have producers, for example, who are providing some really, really high-quality grass-fed beef into the program. And the reason that they're able to do that is because they have, you know, a really sophisticated managed grazing setup on their farms.
Officials say so far, It has served 70 counties across Wisconsin with nearly $3 million worth of food delivered. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. A low in the low 60s. And staying on the cloudier side for tomorrow with a few showers and thunderstorms clearing in the late afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Sunshine and low 70s for Monday. Right now it's 73.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll recap the Packers game in Tennessee, and Brittany Merlot joins us for the forecast.
And Grace Hageman joins us from the Croc Center to talk about their Senior Life Expo.
Join us.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we go to Minow and the Mayor, where Jim and John this week welcomed in Jim Mitchell, president of the Green Bay Gamblers, and from Blue Green Events, joins to talk about the upcoming Old Fashioned Fest on September 21st. The guys talk all about the state drink and how it brings us together.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minow, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minow and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Minow and the Mayor here on a great-looking Thursday, great-looking forecast, and we've got something great to look forward to coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, man.
We've got Jeff Mitchell here talking about Old Fashioned Fest. Jeff, you kind of wear two hats a little bit. Tell about your career here.
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Green Bay Gamblers hockey team, and then I'm also the president of Blue Green Events. And what Blue Green Events is, we put on shows like Old Fashioned Fest and Craftoberfest, the RV and camping show, the boat show, etc. And what we're talking about today is Old Fashioned Fest, which kind of the genesis of this event really is just the love affair that Wisconsin, especially Northeast Wisconsin, has with the Old Fashioned.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously we have some great partners with Badger Liquor. And together we put together this event. Got the first time around was in April. We had about 12 bars participate, and the event sold out like in 10, 15 minutes. And we like, well, let's bring it back in for a fall edition. And again, we got 13 bars this time around. And the feedback we received from people who not only participated, but also the bars who are all local was fantastic. And again, we're really excited about this event.
So tell me about the event. Like, how does that work? It's an old-fashioned fest. You got 13 bars participating, yeah. promoting their own.
So what it is this all takes place in the Nicolet Bank upper level of the Rush Expo. The bars each get a booth. They're in a horseshoe, and you basically go bar to bar at the expo. Each bar will make a Wisconsin traditional old-fashioned, which is either brandy or bourbon, and then the sweet, sour, or press, whichever they decide. And then the other old-fashioned they make is really cool and allows them to kind of use their mixology skills. It's a new old-fashioned. So we have, you know, people who do vodka, people who do gin. They do tequila, mezcal.
Really?
We actually had one of the bars ask us, can I light something on fire? We're like, well, let us check the code on that.
Some guys, when I was in Mexico, we were doing the IXX trip, and I ran into some guys they're all from Canada, all hockey players from Canada. It was their bachelor party, and I just hooked up because we spoke the same language, you know.
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, and they were drinking some kind of shots that they'd light on fire, and they're, you got to do this with us, and same thing, and that's the time I tried finding my way back to my hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
And I knocked on the door, and a guy goes, who's there? I'm like, what are you doing in my room? And he opens the door. He's like, you got the wrong room, buddy. Oh. So I walked all the way back through, like, the jungle Look at the map. Look at the map. Look at the map. Go back. Same guy. Who's there? Ended up sleeping on a bench.
Yeah, sleeping in the lobby.
Yes.
First one of the continental breakfast in the morning.
As the people were going to breakfast, I'm sleeping on the bench.
The old-fashioned fest that's taking place, what is it, 21st?
Yeah, September 21st, right. Which is Saturday, 6 to 9.
Tickets are available now. Do people vote, or how does that work?
Yeah,
is there a prize?
So what we do is...
Who can stand after... 26 old-fashioned.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's an event. It's not a turn and burn type event,
right,
where people are just power drinking. You know, these people are like
connoisseurs, right?
They're connoisseurs testing. Of it. They like, you know, the old fashioned, just this iconic.
And there's so
drink.
Many variety. I mean, right. The options are you were saying, limitless. How you can make an old fashioned.
Jim, so if when you guys come, when you enter, you get 3 poker chips. And you walk around, and like we have a bourbon street, so the bars that are going to do a bourbon will be on one side, that's brandy cool. will be on the other, and you go and test, and the drink that you like best, you vote with your poker chip by putting it in a glass fishbowl at that booth.
Oh.
So it would be labeled Bourbon Wisconsin. Okay, I like that one the best. And then we add up with the poker chips. Whoever has the most is now gets the best in glass award at the end of the night.
Fine. We were talking beforehand, what is brandy the most prevalent over whiskey? In Wisconsin?
You know, being not a native of Wisconsin, I can tell you, like, our bars are split 50-50. So out of the 13th, I think we're at 7 brandy, 6 bourbon.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's I think it's what you like. I think if you like old fashions, you probably have your go-to, right?
Right. And, we were talking, Bloody Marys have kind of gotten away on, it's almost a carny drink. They put chickens and hot dogs in. But the garnish... For old fashions, it's got to be a little bit of the presentation.
Yeah, cherry, orange, I mean, syrups. You know, these bars have their own bitters that they're doing. Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
some
they
of them
model
grind them.
It.
Yeah, I know, that's cool.
It's an art. It's really an art.
We were talking earlier. One of our guys brought us some brandy with honey. It's honey infused.
Okay.
And he said, that's really good now for old fashions. Have you heard that?
I haven't. And again, like, I got to be honest. Like, I'm not a big old fashioned guy.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a...
What? Tell us about, are you a beer guy? I know you're here to talk about the old fashioned, but talk about some of the other things that you do.
So
as
we do Craftoberfest, which will be October 5th, and we've been doing that for probably 10, 11 years.
That's coming up.
And again, you have over, you know, 50 or 40 type craft beers from all over the state, you know, a lot of locals.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I always tell people this, I'll taste something that I really like, and I can never remember if I go back
you gotta
to some
write
place
it down.
To try it's, to find that again.
It's like a romance novel. It's got like all these different things.
Yeah.
Oh, this beer's got nuts from Idaho.
Exactly. Can you name the bars that are taking part?
Yeah. So the cool thing about Old Fashioned Fest too is all these bars are local with Northeast Wisconsin. Our goal really is, you know, not only is for them to really showcase not only their skills, but also bring some ROI to their location. So that's the cool thing too. Like, hey, when you go there, you know, these bars are like really showcasing who they are and, you know, promoting what
absolutely.
They are. But here's kind of our roster. We have Z54, which is down in the valley. Great little spot. White Dog, which is right here on Broadway. She's got an unbelievable place. The Turn.
You go there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I like that place
White
a Dog's lot.
A,
I mean,
White
it's,
Dog's
I work over on
well, this is Michael texted, Wisconsin drinks more brandy than the rest of the U.S. combined.
Perfect.
Wow.
Listen to him. Perfect. Most people say, wow. You're like, perfect. Gee, what's your business?
We got customers.
So that White Dog is what, I don't want to say homemade, but it's just very unique to
it's
that
awesome.
District. It's just a very cool spot. And like I said, I work over at the homeless shelter, so I walk down there a lot.
Yeah,
anyway.
Tiana Burton is the proprietor there and does a great job.
Yeah.
The Turn, the Legacy Hotel, which is new, Tavern.
You know what? We've had the Legacy on here. Okay. The guy who...
They're mixologists.
The mixologist is from Michigan, isn't he?
Stevenson.
Okay.
And he came in here. He actually made... Old fashioned,
right
where you're sitting.
I knew we had
that was
some
like
in
a,
here once.
That was like
that's
a year ago.
Was.
That was over a year ago. He was
that's
here.
That's who it was.
He, like, I don't know if that's a legit term. He's not a bartender. He's a mixologist.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it was unbelievable what he brought in. And I think he did a little of that smoke thing, too. Or he talked about it. We may have let him do it in here. But anyway, he's going to be it. So Legacy is there.
Yeah, so
that's
they were there in April. And his old fashioned was like it had a marshmallow in it. I think it was like a campfire type thing. It was really cool. Tavern in the Sky, which is on top of the Lodge
cool.
Kohler.
Yeah.
Sturgeon Spirits, which is down in Oshkosh. They distill their own spirits, which is cool. Paradise North Distillery. The OC. Lost Key Tap. Lost Key Tap's great. He's down in Wrightstown, right on the river.
Now, let me back great up to spot. The OC. Where?
It's the old Fratello's.
Okay, all right.
By the Alamo.
I know where it is. I know where it is. Okay, I knew that. I've been there. Okay.
Iron Duck, which is very popular.
What? Everybody goes there except me and Johnny.
Last two basketball coaches for UW Green Bay, the first time we've talked to them.
We always ask them, what's your favorite restaurant?
And Sonny?
Sonny.
Iron Duck.
We're like, where's that? Oh, right on, on line, whatever.
The other night, had him at the football game. The new coach, Gottlieb, came up to the booth. I interviewed him at halftime. So have you ever found, a good place? Oh, man, a place called the Iron Duck.
We're like,
how did this happen? That two guys for two places, like I said, we've never been to.
Yeah, I got to get there. I mean, I've been to most of the places you're mentioning, but I got to get there.
Caleb Suda is the provider there. I know Brennan Bruss, who's the president of PMI. That's his go-to, but the Iron Duck's great.
Okay.
All right. Chives, again.
Oh,
Chives,
yeah,
award-winning restaurant.
Yeah.
Bay Area Burger, which is a new restaurant, I believe, right downtown.
He's been here.
And then 1919 Kitchen and Tap.
Awesome.
Awesome.
That's Lambo.
Fantastic. That's,
wow, you got some great places that obviously serve good old fashions, but they also offer a plethora of other things too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's some awesome food at those places you're mentioning. So,
and that's point two, along with their skills, we're like, hey, showcase your menu, do this. And then our chef, Chef Nicole, has a great spread of food. We also have a couple groups coming in to sample. Door County Coffee does like an old fashioned brew. They'll be there. Old Smoky, which is blowing up.
It's huge.
J. Henry, which is a Wisconsin-based whiskey, and then Castle and Key. So people can sample those too. So again, you're getting the full gamut.
We've talked about this a little bit. Like some of the places you go with the bourbon, you could have an old fashioned that you're putting in, $100 a shot bourbon in some of these if somebody wants to get real serious, right?
Yeah, you're not
if they wanted to.
You're not drinking Kesslers.
Things have changed.
This isn't breaking into granddaddy's old medicine chest, John.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing.
This is high-end stuff. And we have Maker's Mark and Copper and Kings are like the two. Those are the two ones for the
high level, but still not crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But you're talking Casamigos, Paradise North and Sturgeon Spirits. Those are really high-end distilleries that they're bringing down.
So, I would imagine there's any. Was it Van Winkle's? Isn't Van Winkle's crazy?
No, Pappy. That stuff's hard to get. Yeah. And again,
but that's basically a collector's item now, isn't it? If somebody has the bottle, do they really open it?
Well, yeah, and you're not on a fixed income if you're drinking
right,
Pappy.
Exactly.
Maybe Herb Kohler, I think, might have his. Maybe that's what he puts on his cereal.
Yeah, we auctioned one off at a golf tournament. I want to say $1,400 it went for. I think it was Pappy 5 or something like that. One of those. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that is. That's
but
crazy.
Part of their thing is they've done a great job at not allowing too many bottles to be available.
What's cool about this old fashioned, like this is a draw to Wisconsin. I don't say it's a badge of.
But it's ours.
It's ours.
Yeah.
And like you said, we drink more old fashions than the whole 49 other states combined.
And like we were talking earlier, that's the one drink. I know you're not an old fashioned guy, but that's the one drink you can drink with your meal.
People will, in the middle of their meal, they'll order another old fashioned. Like I don't, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, it was always.
But you don't even think about it.
I didn't even get to the meal, was my
problem.
But again,
you wouldn't order a 7-7 or a Kessler's and whatever.
During your meal. Before or sometimes after. Yeah. But anyway, this is cool.
Stick around.
All right. Yep. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other events that you do. And what's the name of your company again? I know you're PMI, but.
Blue Green Events, which is a branch of the PMI Entertainment
Group. Blue Green. You got to tell me how you came up with that. Okay.
Break.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
From the Lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres,
it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Todd Albus Show, where this week he welcomed in Michael Cohen, former Trump fixer and administration aide.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albus Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. We will get to our Todd and Phil's just a bit outside text to win trivia or a contest here. After the bottom of the hour, your chance to win tickets to the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, but we are delaying that, and happily so, to make room for our very special guest today, Michael Cohen, former Trump fixer and attorney, but more importantly, now author. Two great books out, another one on the way, Revenge and Disloyal. Also has a great podcast called Mea Culpa and a brand new YouTube channel called The Michael Cohen Show. Michael Cohen, we appreciate you being here. And our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party and author himself, joining via phone from Milwaukee. Let's get into the really important stuff, Michael. How's the relationship really behind closed doors with Melania? Do they hate each other? Does she love him? What's the deal with Melania?
Obviously, it doesn't take anybody, right, who's able to see that there's a lot of rift going on between the two. She has no interest in being around him for obvious reasons. It certainly didn't help his relationship with a porn star when she had just given birth to Barron. She's more concerned about Barron than she is about him. And she's staying away. She's had very little to do with this campaign other than getting paid for her hair and makeup or to be paid within which to speak. I mean, that really goes to show you the level of the grift of this family. I think that is even worse than Lara Trump's recent release of that song, right? Which is just, again, it demonstrates the level of grift that these folks are willing to go to in order to make a buck. And right. This isn't normal for billionaires, right? I mean, I know plenty of billionaires. Nobody has, nobody has this going on, selling Bitcoins and selling sneakers and, having their daughter-in-law, who's the vice chair of the RNC committee, going ahead and putting out, trying to increase her music career. Right. This is so different than anything we've ever dealt with in U.S. history before.
I'm going to give Matt Flynn another question here, but before I do, kind of a quick two-parter. A, is the ketchup thing real? Does he really throw plates or ketchup bottles against the wall when he's ticked off? And B, what really gets under Donald Trump's skin? What actually bothers him?
Me. I bother Donald Trump because he believes that everybody should have total fealty to him. Mm. And the fact that I have come out and I have spoken, remember, Mueller, 7 congressional committee hearings, not the one you all saw on TV. I did that 7 times. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the Manhattan DA, the New York Attorney General, $495 million, right? Now 34 criminal counts. Yeah. I get under his skin. As far as throwing things, yeah, I've never seen him throw ketchup. He likes ketchup too much.
Matt Flynn?
Yeah, listen, Michael, one of the things that I was fascinated by, and it disturbs me about the guy, you mentioned in one of your reports that when you drove down to the congressional hearing, you thought you had to be disguised. I think you wore sunglasses and a baseball hat, and I know you've been attacked. How much he apparently relishes people threatening his critics, hang Mike Pence, that kind of thing. How much do you think he knows about the details? How much is he behind it? Or is it just that he's ginning it up by his vicious public attacks?
He knows. He knows and he relishes in it, just as he did for those 96 minutes. My friends, listen to me carefully on this one. For 96 minutes, he disappeared while police officers, while the People's House were being ransacked and vandalized, all right? While there was an attempt to try to hang Mike Pence and to kill Nancy Pelosi. I know this guy like I know the back of my hand. He sat there, which ultimately, and I said it on the spot, he was enjoying it, which is why he didn't call for any backup, because he was enjoying watching these people doing what he obviously is too scared to do and wouldn't do on his own, but watching them do what he truly wanted, wearing MAGA red hats, carrying Trump 2020 flags along with MAGA flags. They were doing it in his honor, and he wasn't going to stop it.
Absolutely incredible. I think that's
no. It's more like it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Disgusting, right?
But that was a great question by Matt. I appreciate your transparency, Michael Cohen, because these are the things I think that we sitting at home. I had a small business at the time in 2021, watching this on my TV, and you wondered: is the guy that shallow, or is he just dumb, or is he actually enjoying it? And unfortunately, you've confirmed my worst fear that the guy actually enjoyed January 6th.
And he did because, again, it was in his honor, and he wasn't going to do anything, despite the fact that everyone around him, including his own kids, were saying, hey, Dad, you got to make a call. You got to call this off. Go out, go on television, tell people to stop it, go home. You need to do something. Did he do it? No. Why? Again, for the same reason I said before, it was being done in his honor, and he was enjoying it.
This show goes out to all parts of Wisconsin. I'm a former Republican. I know that we have Republicans that listen to the show. What do you think? And there's a segment that's never going to leave Trump's loyalty land. But what do you think that people who might be moderate or kind of center right leaning people, what is the message for them that you have today?
If you truly care about democracy, if you care about constitutional rights, if you care about America's democratic republic, there is only one decision that needs to be made in November of 2024. And that is you must make sure that you are registered to vote. So go to vote.org and make sure that you vote up and down ballot blue, voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in 2024. Vote like democracy is on the line, because it is.
Matt Flynn.
That was an excellent, excellent statement. And the only thing that I would leave you with, Michael, you know, a lot of people admired your telling the truth like this. I'm just concerned about ongoing threats to the FBI, to election commissioners, and to you, guys like you. So I hope that there is some thought being given to protecting people from attack, because I'm convinced, especially after what you said, that Donald Trump is actually part of this, and part of this intimidation of people who criticize him.
Michael Cohen, we have less than a minute left. About 45 seconds is all yours.
Unfortunately, it's going on. Not only have I been doxxed and swatted, they just swatted my 89-year-old father and my 81-year-old mother. I'm talking about dogs. I'm talking about helicopters. I'm talking about FBI agents carrying AR-15s, everything. This is not normal behavior. It's done at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald J. Trump, and we will stop him in November.
Michael Cohen, you can catch him on his new YouTube channel, The Michael Cohen Show, also his podcast, Mea Culpa, his books, Disloyal and Revenge, a new one coming out. Michael Cohen, thank you so much. You're welcome anytime. Please come back and talk to us.
You know that I will. Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Matt.
Our pleasure. Come on back with Matt Flynn after this.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At his rally in Wilmington, North Carolina, Donald Trump rejected having another debate against Kamala Harris, saying it's too late for more debates. It comes after Vice President Harris today accepted an offer for a second debate against former President Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott was at the rally.
Former President Donald Trump once said when President Biden was in the race that he would debate him anytime, anywhere, any place. After that first debate that we hosted with Vice President Kamala Harris, we have noticed that the former president's tune around debating her for a second time has changed.
President Biden hosting leaders of India, Japan, and Australia today in Delaware. The White House says the Quad countries set to announce the whole joint coast Quad operations. Escalations between Israel and Hezbollah a day after Israeli forces carried out airstrikes in southern Beirut, killing a top Hezbollah commander. The U.S. and other countries are calling for a de-escalation. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I'm not sure that it comes down to that. I know they're over there preparing, and we're going to prepare over here and do the best we can come to game time. But like you said, we're taking this thing day by day.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically, it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, a low in the low 60s. And staying on the cloudier side for tomorrow with a few showers and thunderstorms clearing in the late afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Sunshine and low 70s for Monday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer, black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Battleground, purple, swing state. You've heard the terms, but what connects it to elections? Wisconsin has been a swing state off and on since the 1950s, but recent elections solidified it when the state could have been won by either the Democratic or Republican candidate. Michigan and Minnesota, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, also swing states. Watch for more campaigns to target Wisconsin and these other states before the next election. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now. What?
Jane, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bond.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Matt and Air on Air. With Greg Bach filling in for Jane this week, along with guest co-host Angela Lang, they talked to Earl Ingram about 2024 Labor Fest, as well as how unions have enabled people to live the American dream and how Milwaukee is the quote-unquote machine shop of the world.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation. We'll be coming back to the show on Monday. Hopefully she is well-rested and vacated and relaxed. Yes. Can't wait to see her. And we have Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organized in Our Communities, as our guest host today. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
And as always, the board lord, Sweet Kelby.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo, as the kids say. Calvin, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
We're doing even better now because we have a guest in-house, the very wonderful, the beloved Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media. You can listen to that show from 8 to 10 every morning, Monday through Friday. Earl, welcome to Matt and Aaron Air. How are you doing this week?
I'm always doing well, man. Yeah. Anytime we come from celebrating labor,
yeah,
my heart is always full and warm.
And you were at Labor Fest. You go every year, right?
Absolutely. I've been a part of Labor Fest for now 40 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow. No more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we were talking about it before we went on the air, and I knew that you joined the labor union at 18. You've talked about that before, but what I didn't know until now is that you actually have it in your blood before that. Like, it's a family thing for you. Your father was in the union.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about, like, your family's history with the labor movement?
So it was not only my family, but when the Great Migration from the South took place in this nation, and many blacks from the South migrated to the North because for these jobs and out West for these factory jobs that were available because World War II was taking place. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who normally held those jobs wound up in fighting the war. Then, these manufacturers wound up, including the plant that I worked at, instead of producing the automobiles and things that they were producing, they started producing munitions. Mm-hmm. And so many of the whites who were normally in those factories wound up going to fight in the wars because blacks at the time weren't exactly welcome to do that. And so it opened the door for women and men, black men, to both come and start working in those factories. And so many blacks migrated. My father, as well as many others, wound up coming up north and then going into factories and, living and making great wages and living middle-class lifestyles. They were able to live a middle-class lifestyle and live the American dream. And so I had a father who was able to do that, even though he had 13 children.
That was the thing you said that blew my mind. You said your father had 13 children and were able to support a family on a union wage, all 13, and live a good life.
One person working.
Yeah.
It wasn't the exception. It was the rule.
Yeah.
At that point in time.
And we're hearing a lot of people talk about, well, if women just were stay home and take care of the kids, and we have they speak as if one income nowadays in 2024 can magically take care of a family, even of one, two, or three kids. But that's not the case. It's because we don't have unions fighting for strong contracts that bring good wages that could possibly do that. But that's not the case. So they make it seem like back when your dad was working, well, that was it was easy to do. But that's not the case anymore because we don't have that union presence in business because the unions have gone away because the jobs, at least in Milwaukee, have changed.
Well, couple things. Number one, the unions, back in 1983, over 20% of this nation was a part of a union.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that today with only 10%.
Yeah.
And the private unions, especially, which have taken the hardest brunt, the hardest hit, the ones who have suffered the most. And, you look at the government unions,
mm-hmm.
and 37% of the people who work for the government are unionized.
Just 37%.
Well, yeah, but that's still pretty good, considering private unions only make up 7%. When you talk about government unions, you're talking about the police, the fire, educators. They're talking about people who work in the government. Many of those people are involved in unions, and so they're protected, and they have not suffered like the private unions have. Republicans went after private unions and intentionally destroyed private unions and led people to believe that people who worked in unions were lazy and shiftless. And, you know, we live in a nation that talks about rugged individualism. And so they've led people to believe that you don't need the support of unions. You can make it on your own. And so there are people who don't, like now, 90% of the American people don't belong to unions. And so they don't know the value of the union. They don't know what transpired because they don't see that. And so I think more than anything else, we've got to get people to understand exactly what unions' purpose are. And why it's, you know, we've kind of went down this rabbit hole once they start destroying unions intentionally.
So understanding and what you had talked about of your upbringing and how you were able, you and your family were able to sustain and how that has drastically changed. What do you see as the future of the labor movement, also specifically in Wisconsin?
Future of the labor movement is something has to be tied into educating the American people to the value of a union. When 90% of the American people don't know anything about unions, when I say they don't know about it, they don't know enough about it to understand the value of it. And I don't blame them. They haven't lived that experience. And so they don't realize that what they make can be tied into, you know, group reality as opposed to individual. Yes, there are individuals who can overcome and may be able to navigate a system set up in this nation the way it is, but the majority of the American people can't do that on their own. And that's the reason why so many people are suffering and struggling today, because they are dealing with a system that is almost impossible to crack individually. That if the unions were so horrible, why are the police and fire prospering through them? Why are the educators prospering through them? Why are the tradespeople prospering? Those are the major unions that still exist, and those are the ones who know the value of it. We've got to get the rest of the American people to understand what they know.
Yeah.
You said that when you joined the union when you were 18.
That's correct.
And you and it says in the booklet you showed, you worked for A.O. Smith for 34 years. Talk to us about just that time at A.O. Smith and what being in the union helped get you as, you know, a good wage, supporting a family. You talk about your middle class life that you were able to lead because of that. Tell the people of that, like from the, you know, kind of give us an overview from.
So it was not just A.O. Smith. It was Alan Bradley, Alex Sharma, Slitz, Miller, American Can, Continental Can, Babcock and Wilcox. We were an industrial metropolis. Milwaukee was called, was called the machine shop of the world, not of the state or the country, of the world. So we produced everything in this city. And so when I graduated in 1972 and was scheduled to go to the University of Stout, my father told me, and I said, well, I'm going to go work at A.O. Smith and make me some money. And he said, don't go. But he couldn't explain to me that if I went, I would be attracted to the money. And I would never leave there and go to college. But I will say this. It's the best dead-end job somebody could possibly have. You were able to take your children on vacations, to buy a home, to save money, to live the American dream. Everybody who was involved in industry back then was able to live the American dream. Make enough money to put away, to send your kids to college, get a pension that I've been living on now for over 20 years. that allows me to live a strong middle-class lifestyle. And even after I'm gone, that pension will then support my wife even after I'm gone. These are the things that unions brought to people.
Yeah.
Security, an opportunity to live that American dream that no longer exists in the private sector, but continues to thrive, you know, in the governmental sector.
Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, we see a lot of young people, you know, I'm between the generations, but them, when they speak about, you know, not being able to afford a home, not being able to move out of the house, not being able, you know, they struggle with finances because the job opportunities are so different than where they were when you were 18 years old and having the opportunity to walk into A.O. Smith, get a job. And as you, I mean, I know you're laughing, but like it was a career for you and it was, but.
No, I'm not laughing.
No. I mean, but you laugh when you call it the best dead end job you ever had. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But it's making young people aware of that, like there are union jobs out there. There are career vocations out there going and not just working at a machine shop, but also like going to a tech school and getting trained for a job that'll put you in the union that will get you a great wage. It's and that skill never goes away.
Right. Man, let me respond to that because it's what I do all the time. And it's what we talked about yesterday at Labor Fest. Labor Fest used to be the tradespeople, the private unions, and the governmental unions, everybody all together. The private unions have since kind of been depleted, but Labor Fest is mainly many of the people who are in the trades, who live strong upper middle class lifestyles. An electrician, a plumber, a steam fitter, a carpenter. Those people make over $100,000 a year. Inside of 5 years, you'll be able to make $100,000 in those trades. And I tell you what, as all these other jobs are offshored or you know, technology replaces them, they'll never replace a plumber, electrician, a steam fitter, a tool and die maker. And these guys make more money on the side almost than they do working. You ever need to call a carpenter? You ever need to call a plumber?
Yeah.
And many times it's the people who do that for a living and work for a company, but then make more on the side almost than they do doing that. And that's all legal.
So as someone that's like worked in the labor movement and organized and all of that, and I think seeing kind of the evolution of labor in the last 10 years, especially in Wisconsin, and seeing things how they've changed, I think it's also worth noting that no membership of any organization is homogenous, right? And so there is a divide, I think, in some labor folks, and everything that you say about making sure that there is a higher quality of life for union members. But yet you had the president of the Teamsters speak at the RNC, and there are some union folks that are, what I feel, voting against their interest because the people that want these higher standards and livable wages and benefits are not folks that were at the RNC. Can you speak a little bit about that?
So as I interviewed many union members on yesterday at Labor Fest that we're going to wind up playing back in the next few days, one of the things that I clearly spoke to them about, especially the hierarchy of the union and the labor movement, was that tradespeople vote Republican. And we had that conversation because it's absolutely correct.
Yep.
And in one of the responses from one of them, he mainly talked about the fact that they didn't realize when you weren't there at the beginning and you don't realize that people had sacrificed in order for you to get those benefits and get where you are, you don't know the history of it.
Sure. We're going to keep this conversation going on the other side of the break. We've got Earl Ingram as our guest on this Tuesday. Angela Lang is our guest co-host. Calvin on the boards. My name is Greg Bach. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon.
To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we go to the Maggie Dawn Show. And on a new segment for the show called Yes, Chef, talking about food and culture, she welcomes in Chef Adam Pollock from the Egg and Flour Pasta Bar.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. It's our very first, our ceremonial first pitch, if you will, of the segment called Yes, Chef. And it wouldn't be Yes, Chef without a chef. He's Adam Pavlock. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, thanks so much, Adam. There's probably nothing that I could talk about sports and food for like untold amounts of time, but probably eventually I could talk about food more because it's infinitely interesting to me. I hope everybody at home finds it interesting as well. If you have questions for Chef Adam or me or a comment, feel free to give us a call or text.
Send them through, right?
Yeah, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But I wanted to ask you a question about getting some skills related to butchering things. Now, I have been around when friends of mine have been deer hunting and they've field dressed a deer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm like, I would like to know and take a class or figure out how to actually butcher not just a side of beef, but other game as well. I have gained the basic skills to break down a whole chicken. I can do that. Probably not as well as I should. But is this something I can like YouTube and learn or what's the best way to learn how to butcher things properly? Because it makes a big difference.
So, I mean, definitely I would say you don't have to go with like sides of animals because, I mean, that's what the butchers are usually getting in into the primals and then breaking those down. But it is nice to be able to, you know, take a tenderloin and do that. Or cut that into your own steaks, or take a whole rib roast and maybe cut that into steaks or whatever it is. You brought up chicken. Poultry is like something that's a lot more difficult and it just takes more finesse. But I would definitely start, if you have interest, to start by watching some videos and then look out for classes, you know, whether it's a Sur La Table, whether it's a butcher shop is actually hosting it. I believe the Polish Center of Milwaukee, Joe Parajeki, does butcher shop classes where you can make sausage or learn how to cut meat. Or, you know, if you're really, really into it, maybe, Maggie, you can go to a butcher shop and say, hey, let me put everything on and watch you and let me get in. And who knows what they say? It depends, I guess, on their insurance company. We'll see what happens.
So the smaller and the longer in existence, the more family oriented the butcher shop, the better odds I get.
They might.
I could just see me rolling it in with my hairnet on, ready to go. Like, hey, let me at it. Let me see.
Exactly. I'll give a shout out to Ray's Butcher Shop. That's where I go for my stuff.
Yeah, Ray's is amazing. I'll definitely check out the Polish Center. And my fish filleting skills are coming along slowly. That is, That is a skill gained only by sheer repetition. I won't even get into the boning of fish. I have not done that perfectly ever. But you've run restaurants before. You've worked in lots of them. And I like to ask every chef that comes on the show this question, because it happens a lot. And that is, hey, you're a diner in a restaurant and you don't like there's a plate of food in front of you and something isn't right, or you're displeased with it. What do you want a customer in one of your restaurants to do if they don't like what they're eating? And there's two versions, right? There's like, there's a hair in my soup. That's one problem. You let the server know that's going to be corrected. But if they don't like it, or it wasn't to their taste, or they didn't, it's not really what they expected. What do you want somebody to do in that situation?
Okay, this is a huge thing, and I'm so happy that I can like get this out to the public or the people that are listening. And I want them to take this seriously because it makes all the difference. So we'll start with what not to do first, and then we'll go into what to do. So what not to do is say nothing, pay for the bill, give them a really crappy tip because you didn't like the food or whatever, but the service might have been okay. Go home, rush to the computer, and write a bad review. Okay? No one should ever do that ever again that's listening to this segment right now. Okay? Let's just erase that out of what people should be doing after dining. If you're at a restaurant, this is what we're going to do. Let's say you get, you know, a steak and it's over. Obviously, you can say, hey, this isn't to my liking. But if it's something that doesn't taste right or you don't like it, ask your server when they come over, say, hey, you don't have to apologize for not liking something either. You don't have to be like, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry, but I just don't like it. It's more so like, hey, this isn't something that I thought would turn out this way, or I think there might be something wrong with the way that it was cooked or something like that. Is there any way that I could get something else on the menu? Or I could get stuff, or I can get the same thing maybe prepared a little bit differently. See what the outcome of that. I guarantee 9 out of 10 times the restaurant is going to be more than happy to take care of you. Let them know, say, even if you want to throw it in there and say, hey, I'm not the type of person that complains, you know, or I don't want to go home and write a review. I really just want to have a great experience and enjoy what you guys are serving and who's cooking and everything, the full package. And I guarantee they will have the respect for you. They will love to hear a customer that might have a problem. You know, some kitchens, they have an off day. That doesn't mean the whole restaurant as a whole is a bad place, or that you've gone one time and it was amazing. You go the next time, it was bad. So then you're like, I'm not going again. It's like, you got to remember, people that are in the restaurant industry are human, whether it's the hostess, the server, it could be the valet guy, it could be anything, the chef, the cooks, the dishwasher. You have to just remember that it's all moving parts. It's human interaction. Nowadays, there's more robots cooking food, but I'm sure the restaurants that we're talking about, people have a bad day or people need to be on or there could be a mistake. And I guarantee we would rather make a new dish or make it to your liking right then and there while you're there than seeing that one-star review or that bad review or whatever it is. So that, I'm really glad that you opened that conversation up. But I think people should be more open about not liking something while they're in the restaurant instead of leaving and then talking about it. That doesn't help anything.
That's Chef Adam Pavlak of Egg and Flour, located in Bayview, Wisconsin. Handcrafted pasta. Incredible. I've had your food a bunch of times. I love it, Adam. And from Adam's lips to your ears, if you don't like it and you're in a restaurant, say something so they can make you happy. That's what they're in the business to do. We'll see you next week, Chef, on our next installment of Yes, Chef. I can't believe we're already out of time. Thank you so much.
I know, we have so much to talk about.
We do, and we've got every Tuesday at 2:30. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie and the Millionaires is up next.
That's that.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie
Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.